Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Off Besties. Welcome to another Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast. We're starting off today's show up in space, then making our way back down to Earth with moon water, where we'll have to deal with rat-infested cities and robots. A full schedule. Let's blast things off with an update on a subject we've already covered on the show, the Three-Eye Atlas Comet. Dr. Avi Loeb, a Harvard scientist, joined the show earlier this year to discuss his headline-making prediction about this space object that's headed near Earth next month. This week, Amanda Forrester of WWJ News Radio in Detroit spoke with Mike Narlock, head of astronomy at the Cranbrook Institute of Science. He has a different view of this comet.
It's a chunk of something or other that has come from outside of our solar system. It's called an interstellar comet, which means its origins are not from within our solar system, and we know that because we can see the path that it's taking, and we can sort of retroactively and mathematically calculate where it came from. Where it's getting all of this undue attention is there was an astronomer, or is an astronomer, out of Harvard who, for reasons beyond understanding, suggested that some of the things that we're seeing it do have to be are not natural, that it's accelerating in a way that it shouldn't be. But all of the evidence points that everything that we're seeing can be absolutely described by regular orbital physics. But, you know, that's not the fun answer. The fun answer is, the mothership is coming back. I say this, ahead of time, that it's probably not a big alien spacecraft. It's just a regular old thing from the universe putting on a display for us. Chances are it's just a regular interstellar comet.
And should it turn out to not be just random space junk, and it does turn out to be the mothership, I am really
excited. Welcome our lizard overlord.
I am really excited to have another conversation with you that will probably look a little bit different.
I'll be in alien prison probably for talking against the mothership. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly fun to think about. There's been countless science fiction movies that have started the same way, right? But no, this one, sometimes fiction is stranger than reality, and this is probably one of those cases.
And is there, I assume as it gets closer, more people will be able to see it. Do you guys have an idea of how close it'll get? Is this something people will be able to see with a telescope or with the naked eye as it kind of continues
probably
its travels?
The best, with the naked eye, no, definitely not. It doesn't get closer to us than about 1.8 astronomical units. So an astronomical unit is just what we call the average distance between the Earth and Sun. So it's about 93 million miles. So this thing won't come closer to us than, say, 200 million miles. Right now, it is a very early morning object. You need a powerful telescope to be able to see it and to know where to look. It's not easy to find. It is being tracked, as all comets are tracked and large enough objects in our solar system. But yeah, we'll definitely not, unless something really strange happens and it brightens for reasons we can't currently predict. It will definitely not be an object you can see with just your eyes or even a pair of binoculars.
And as technology gets better, as telescopes get stronger, can we expect to see more of these objects that maybe don't come close to Earth, but are now able to be picked up by technology? Can we just expect to have more of those in the news? Or is this kind of just a one-off?
I think, are we going to be able to see more of these things? Let's hope. You know, whenever we can cast our attention to the skies and see what's out there, that's always a good thing. It's more likely that things will be seen through people's iPhones and Android phones, and they'll take pictures of things they see in the sky, because that's what's really becoming more prevalent. We've always had telescopes aimed at the sky. We've always had satellite telescopes as well, and as you suggest, there are plans for other telescopes to go up there and other objects of interest to be looked for. And generally speaking, astronomers are not going to misidentify something and call it a spaceship, because we know the types of stuff that's out there. We see more of, and we've certainly seen it with lately on social media, is somebody taking their iPhone camera, which is a good camera, but it just doesn't do well in low light, and aiming it towards the sky and seeing something that moves and jumping to conclusions. That, I think, is what we're going to be seeing more of, is regular old things in the sky that people misidentify and think are aliens or something else that's up there.
I heard a conversation at a previous job, not terribly long ago, and they were saying that there was aliens and alien satellites out, but what it really turned out to be was, I believe it was Venus and Mars had aligned.
Sure. Yep.
But they were like, nope, that's not what it is.
Right.
And they had also taken pictures on their phones. And
they're absolutely convinced, you know, it was, yep, doing this, that, and the other. And it's like your iPhone takes a really good picture of your kids at the park, but when it's really dark out and you're trying to, you know, hold your hand steady and take a picture of something in the sky, and, you know, it doesn't take the greatest picture. And then if you're not yourself well acquainted with the things in the sky, then it's easy to misidentify things or jump to certain conclusions. And, you know, we get that all the time here, where somebody has seen something and they'll send us a picture, and we'll, you know, it's like, well, when did you see it? Okay, so it's probably this. And, you know, it people would prefer to believe the fantastic than the mundane. And unfortunately, in this case, the mundane happens to be, you know, Mercury or Venus or Mars or Jupiter or something in the sky that we know is there. It's just, you know, when you take a picture of it, it looks a little strange.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's a comet or Venus or Mars or the moon, humans are often drawn to what's up in the sky. Something Offbeat also did a whole episode about that, and you can check it out in our archives. But this week, the Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis discussed a very specific way that humans try to connect with the wider universe and outer space, and specifically the moon. It's called moon water. Now, what is moon water, you might be asking?
You take water and you put it in a see-through container. You seal it so the water doesn't go bad. You put it out under the full moon all night. And not only does it hydrate you, but it also connects you to Mother Gaia, puts you in touch with the seasonal flow of nature. And you can see noticeable changes in your life that are unexplainable.
I could use some of that.
Yeah. Just for a Tupperware thing full of water.
I do actually believe this.
How does that supposed to work?
He believes it. Talk to him.
It's called moon magic.
Because moonlight is just sunlight bouncing off a thing.
Yeah, but this one's from the moon.
I don't think you quite get it.
Are little moon particles coming off of that light and joining my water?
Kevin, can you do me a favor?
Uh-huh.
Can you take your headphones off so I can have a normal conversation with Rachel and Dave that doesn't involve your interjections going, well, that's stupid. But what I'm going to ask you is, how do you guys feel about the full moon in general? I am occupied tonight, and I hate it. I do not like being out on the full moon. I like to take my big ass home and stay there. I am very superstitious about the full moon.
Like people going nutsy?
People act different on the full moon, man. And I think maybe this comes from my mother, who spent a lot of time working in the emergency room.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the
stories. She was an absolute believer that she would be so upset when she had to work like a night shift on a full moon, because she's like, it's going to be hell.
Well, there's a lot of liquid in your brain. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, that is the theory behind the full moon psychosis.
Really? The tides of our brain are messed up?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only explanation I've ever heard. Whether it's a real one or it's just a wives tale kind of thing. But I do have lots of friends who work in the ER, and every one of them has told me it's absolutely a real thing.
Yeah, but all the studies on it have shown nothing.
Remember when I asked you to take your headphones off, Kevin?
Well, I'm just saying, like,
he left them on.
So there are all kinds of people that swear on a whole bunch of things. But when they're studied, they don't hold up.
Oh, for love of God.
Okay.
According to this,
you're right. They're all wrong. They're all wrong.
Number one, I am just relating to you what the studies have said. This is not my opinion. Over 100 studies have, quote, failed to...
You read every study in 10 seconds. You are friggin' amazing.
It's more than anybody who said that it matters. Not one of them looked at anything but feelings.
Feelings are real, Kevin.
Do you recall, Dave, do you recall asking him? I don't recall asking him.
I remember someone asking him to take his headphones off.
You know, I was curious about those studies too, so I did some searching. One Chinese study published in the Chronobiology International Journal in 2020 did find that psychiatric admissions for schizophrenia show, quote, lunar periodicities. The researchers explained that people with schizophrenia tended to be stable in the new moon, but then they became easily aggravated during the first quarter and full moon. Patients with paranoid schizophrenia also appeared to be more susceptible to deterioration at the full moon. According to the Cleveland Clinic, the moon and lunar cycles can impact humans. It noted that the word lunacy itself is even connected to the moon. This sensitivity to the moon could be linked to the fact that we're mostly water, according to the clinic. Some other organisms, including marine animals, have been known to adapt their biological cycles to the lunar cycle. However, an expert cited by the clinic noted that most of the discussion of the moon's effects on humans has been anecdotal so far, with more study needed. And as for moon water rituals, the Cleveland Clinic said that meditative practices and positive thinking habits can have a powerful effect on humans. Okay, I'm done. We'll get back to the Dave Glover Show now.
All right. Well, I guess we believe in witches being for real and curses.
You know that we do. We talk about this every day.
Make this glamour witch bake some moon water on your ass.
Seriously. Attempting fate now.
Black cat and a ladder. We're doomed.
I mean, maybe. Can't be too safe. I'm making moon water tonight. That sounds good.
Now we're moving on to a decidedly less celestial topic. Though you may catch these little critters scurrying around in the moonlight. Rats. I'm talking about rats. The Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City covered a new list of the most infested cities in the U.S. And I can proudly say that my hometown has dropped from first place, though it is still on the list. And as you'll hear, the memories of my very own neighborhood's beloved rat hole attraction live on.
We have a new city that has been crowned the rattiest city in America.
Rattiest.
And I have the top 15 in front of me. These are the cities with the most rats.
Oh, I thought you meant just like dilapidated. Like, that's ratty. You mean actual rats?
Well, the two could go together.
Oh, God. Is it New York City?
By the way, there are roughly 8.2 billion people on Earth.
I don't want to know.
Okay. But they believe that the number of rats on Earth is 16.4 billion.
I don't need to know that.
Twice the size.
Twice as many the rats as there are humans.
Okay, this is lightening it up. Okay.
By the way, there's an old saying that you're never more than 6 feet away from a rat.
In this building, I believe it.
Oh, God.
I do too.
Well, hey, I'm right here.
What are you, the janitor?
Well, I doubt there are rats in this building, but there are mice.
I don't want to talk about it.
I guarantee you there are mice in this building.
I'm not the janitor, but I'm within 6 feet of Dan.
Oh, God. Okay. Is it New York City?
New York City is on the list, but it's not number one, believe it or not.
Okay.
New York is number three, Dana Wright.
Oh, God.
Newark.
No.
It happens to be
a city. Not in the top 15.
That I often call very dirty. And people on the text line light me up
for it.
Vegas is not on the list.
Chicago.
Number two.
Oh!
It was number one last year.
Right. It was number one last year.
Is St. Louis on the list?
St. Louis did not make the cut.
Mm.
Wichita.
Oh.
No.
New Orleans.
No.
Real? By the water?
Think of a city that we see in movies all the time that's depicted as beautiful, but when you go there, it's actually pretty dirty.
Los Angeles.
Number one.
Ah!
Number one.
All right, give me the rest.
I'll just give you the top 10.
Yeah.
In descending order, from 10 to 4, because we've already got 1, 2, and 3.
Houston.
Is not on the list. Huh. Not on the top 15. Number 10 is Denver.
Okay.
Number 9 is Minneapolis. Number 8 is Philadelphia. Number 7, the city that God forgot, Detroit. Number 6, Washington, D.C. Oh. Number 5, Hartford, Connecticut.
Huh.
Hartford.
And number 4, a city that if you watch too much Fox News, you would think this city is under siege. It is not. It is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in and just recently went there. Number 4 is San Francisco.
San Francisco.
I loved San Francisco.
Now, we also have to keep in mind, though, that this is a study that is done by Oregon. So it's not necessarily how many rats are in these cities. It's whether or not they care enough to call to get the rats dealt with. So New York probably is number one, but there's a certain number of New Yorkers that are like, yeah, that's Bob. He lives here.
Have you ever seen the video of the rat in New York carrying the piece of pizza up the stairs?
Yeah.
Rat.
And there was a chunk of sidewalk in Chicago where there was an outline of a rat because it had fallen onto the wet cement and had somehow gotten up and run away. And so their people would flock to Chicago to take a picture with the rat.
Dude, if I ever saw a rat in my house, I would die.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out.
I remember one time living in Roland Park, and I am the cleanest human being you would ever meet. And I think roaches and mice are an indication that your home is not as clean as it needs to be.
Not accurate, but
I know.
And then if they go and open that refrigerator door.
And I remember when one year, and I'd moved into my home in Roland Park. Like I'd been there for like 2 years. It's the middle of the night. I wake up, and the cup of water I'd left on the nightstand was empty. So I go to the kitchen in the middle of the night to refill my water. I turn on the light, and I see a mouse scamper across the floor in my kitchen. I could not get on the phone quick enough with my exterminator, Bill Richhart. And I'm like, Bill, I need you at my house yesterday.
We had one die in our stairwell in an area that was very difficult to get to. So that was quite the aroma.
I don't need to hear any more about this.
The mice are back. The mice are back in my house.
Whoa. They are?
Yeah.
You have mice in your house?
The mice are... I knew it was going to happen when it got cold. When we first moved in, they were
looking for someplace warm.
There were mice.
Right.
And we mitigated it.
Were there mouses or just one mouse?
I killed at least three.
Oh, my gosh! So
do you use the old-fashioned...
Oh, I do the snap trap.
Yeah.
So when
those
I lived,
are the best.
When I lived at 55th and Paseo, we had hundreds of mice, and we used the glue trap, and...
Those are inhumane.
You start playing... rock, paper, scissor for who has to
deal with the problem
without being too detailed.
Right.
Because you can't leave the mouse alive. Anyway, so I noticed that the mouse poop is back, so I put my traps back out, and I got two this morning.
You got two this morning?
Two this morning.
What do you use as bait?
I'm really good at putting traps in the right spot.
Do you use peanut butter?
Shameless plug, whatever. It's a great product. It's called Tomcat Mouse Hunter.
Okay.
And you just put a little droplet right on the trap. Mm.
Do you keep your dog food sealed in like a tub from Walmart?
So it's funny. Stand by.
As we speak, there are several companies working on something that they think might be able to do jobs like setting up mouse traps, doing laundry, and filling the dishwasher in the future. Humanoid robots. Tech reporter Mike Dubusky joined a new morning from WBEN Radio in Buffalo this week to fill us in on when we can have our very own C-3PO roommates.
Everyone's always dreamed of Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons being in the house, doing all the chores. And now, I guess, you know, it's just a matter of time. But there's a company that says they basically have it down pat. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so this company is called 1X, and they say that they plan to put a humanoid robot on sale next year in 2026. The robot that they are demoing that's gotten a lot of attention online lately is called Neo. It's a humanoid robot, so it's got two legs, two arms, it's got a head with two cameras in it that act as eyes, and it's basically designed to be a helper around the house. So it can clean up, it can load the dishwasher, it can fold laundry. All the stuff around the house that you don't want to do, this thing is supposed to be able to take care of. However, there are some problems that the company behind this thing needs to figure out first. The big one is that Neo is not an autonomous robot. It's a remote control device. Right now, the way it works is that someone who works for 1X remotely pilots this thing using a VR headset. The bot's movements match the movements of the controller. The eyes that see, you know, around your house are basically camera feeds into your living room or into your kitchen. Now, Neo says the eventual goal here is to create a neural network to act as the robot's brain. Basically, they're training an AI model, right, so that it can figure out how to negotiate all the different ways that people set up their homes, how to, you know, load a dishwasher, how to figure out stairs and stoves and other things like that. They need that data before this thing can go fully autonomous, but that is their goal. The initial, you know, round of these things will be remotely piloted. They will be $20,000 each, which is a pretty penny, but they say that early adopters are willing to handle some of those inconveniences and that high price tag in order to be at the cutting edge of what they think is going to be the next big technology.
But basically, for now, what you're saying is you're inviting a person into your home.
Yeah, kind of a clumsy one from what we understand, too. This is a robot that, you know, is 5'6". It can carry about 55 pounds. But the Wall Street Journal actually got an early look at this thing, and it seems like the way that it handles things like loading the dishwasher is kind of clunky, at least at first, with these kind of initial models. The robot took about 5 minutes to load three items into a dishwasher. It took about 1 minute to go catch something from the refrigerator and bring it to a person. So, like, it's kind of awkward. It's a little like a toddler in your home. But even still, there are some bigger privacy concerns there. Now, again, the company says that early adopters are willing to deal with that trade-off. But I think the bigger question is going to be, can Neo actually train an AI model in a way that's reliable? We know that AI systems like this do have a tendency to go wrong. This is something that the AI industry has not figured out yet. And it's a bit of a different concern when this is an actual thing that exists in physical space in your home.
On the scary side of this, I've seen videos of it, of this robot, this human-looking robot, firing a gun I mean, you could teach it anything, right?
So there are definitely limitations on what Neo is allowed to do. For example, it's not really, supposed to go near a stove or turn on, you know, anything that could potentially burn your house down. The teleoperator, in addition, does have all the people blurred from their perspective. So the remote control person wears a VR headset, but every time Neo, sees a person moving around, their image is blurred. So there's some privacy level there. And then there's also an app that goes along with this where you can schedule when it's active. So it doesn't, come awake in the middle of the night. In terms of you training it to do additional things, that could be a bit more of a challenge. It's really designed for sort of like around the house sort of tasks, but they're not alone, right? Neo is just one of several companies that are working on in-house robots. Figure is another one that says that they are planning to have a sort of in-house housekeeper robot concept come to market. And then let's not forget, Tesla has Optimus. That is their bipedal robot that has been showing up at more and more Tesla events. This does seem like it is a burgeoning market, but I think the real question is, can anyone make it actually work in a way that people are comfortable with?
So you mean to tell me I pay $20,000, I get home this robot to do all the chores around the house, but it can't use a stove. So when I ask it to make dinner, it tells me to get in the kitchen.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And again, that is the trade-off with early technology like this. So we shouldn't get too hung up on the $20,000 price tag, Brian, because you could also subscribe for $500 a month. So it's going to be a very expensive thing regardless.
Ah, the low, low price. I think that's what I pay for TV now anyway. So that's it's basically nothing.
It feels like it. Mike, let me know when it not only folds laundry, but puts it away.
Yeah, the laundry thing, I think, could be a big one. Or maybe do a fitted sheet on a bed. That could be a really big value add there. But again, these early models are not as dexterous as a person is, right? There's been a lot of thought given to, how specifically this thing can hold like a glass cup or a glass mug or something like that, so it doesn't break it. That is a big question mark around these things, right? The robots are still in the very early stages of being trained. They need to figure out all these individual things. And for what it's worth, again, the early reviewers of this say, it is able to do these tasks. It just might take a little bit longer. It might not be as, nice of a folded shirt or nice of a fitted sheet sort of job as a person could do. But again, you go back to the company and they say, we just need more data, right? The way this thing gets better is by training it on more and more things. Another good way to think about this, guys, is with self-driving cars, right? An autonomous vehicle is basically a robot for the road. Well, the road has very specific rules that, a robot can understand, can be programmed with. Really, what self-driving car companies are dealing with right now is dealing with the extreme cases, inclement weather, construction sites, and that type of thing. A home is a completely different consideration. Everyone organizes their home differently. There's a lot of different, sort of things that can go wrong with regards to pets and children and what have you. So these are some big hurdles that this industry needs to get over. Even still, though, there are plenty of companies in the space who want to try and solve those problems.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and A New Morning out of WBEN in Buffalo. You can listen to and subscribe to Something Offbeat on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.